Duke Russell is not guilty of the unspeakable crimes for which he was convicted. Nonetheless, he is scheduled to be executed for them in 1 hour and 44 minutes. As always during these dreadful nights, the clock seems to tick faster as the final hour approaches. I've suffered through 2 of these countdowns in other states. One went full cycle, and my man uttered his final words. The other was waved off in a miracle finish. Tick away. It's not going to happen. Not tonight, anyway. The folks who run Alabama may one day succeed in serving Duke his last meal before sticking a needle in his arm, but not tonight. He's been on death row for only 9 years. The average in this state is 15. There is an appeal bouncing around somewhere in the 11th Circuit in Atlanta, and when it lands on the desk of the right law clerk, within the hour, this execution will be stayed. Duke will return to the horrors of solitary confinement and live to die another day. He's been my client for the past 4 years. His team includes a mammoth firm in Chicago, which has committed thousands of pro bono hours, and an anti-death penalty group out of Birmingham that has spread pretty thin. 4 years ago, when I became convinced he was innocent, I signed on as the point man. Currently, I have 5 cases, all wrongful convictions, at least in my opinion. I've watched one of my clients die. I still believe he was innocent. I just couldn't prove it in time. One is enough. For the 3rd time today, I enter Alabama's death row and stop at the metal detector blocking the front door where 2 frowning guards are protecting their turf. "Post. Cullen Post," I say, "for Duke Russell." The guard nods to a plastic basket on a short conveyor belt. In it, I place my briefcase and cell phone. I step through the detector, get cleared, and enter death row. I grab my briefcase and cell phone and follow the other guard down a sterile hallway to a wall of bars. He nods, switches click and clang, the bars slide open, and we hike down another hallway. Around a corner, some men are waiting outside a windowless steel door. 4 are in uniform, 2 in suits. One of the latter is the warden. He looks gravely at me and steps over. "Got a minute?" "Not many," I reply. We move away from the group for a private chat. He's not a bad guy, just doing his job, which he's new at, and thus he's never pulled off an execution. He's also the enemy, and whatever he wants, he will not get from me. We huddle up like pals, and he whispers, "What's it look like?" I glance around as if to evaluate the situation and say, "Gee, I don't know. Looks like an execution to me." "Come on, Post. What are the odds right now?" 50-50, I say, lying. This puzzles him, and he's not sure how to respond. "I'd like to see my client," I say. "Sure," he says, louder as if frustrated. He can't be viewed as cooperating with me, so he storms off. The guards step back as one of them opens the door. Inside the death room, Duke is lying on a cot with his eyes closed. For the festivities, the rules allow him a small color television so he can watch whatever he wants. It's on mute with cable news giddy over wildfires out west. His countdown is not a big story on the national front. At execution time, every death state has its own silly rituals, all designed to create as much drama as possible. At 10 p.m., they move the condemned man to the death room, which is next door to the death chamber, where he will be killed. A chaplain and a lawyer are permitted to sit with him, but no one else. His last meal is served around 10:30, and he can order whatever he wants, except for alcohol. "How you doing?" I ask as he sits up and smiles. "Never felt better. Any news?" "Not yet, but I'm still optimistic. We should hear something soon." Duke is 38 and white, and before getting arrested for rape and murder, his criminal record consisted of 2 DUIs.